All right, man, here we go. Last week in the books of college football. Still plenty to sort out. Brent Rollins back here again. Remember, Rights for Rivals, PFF. Brent, I don't know what it's like right now to be an Ohio State fan. But golly, man, I mean, we were trying to draw scenarios going into this game of how it could happen. And we knew Michigan's defensive line was good, but Michigan could not score for anything. And Michigan made plenty of mistakes in this football game, too, and set Ohio State up. But in the end, man, it was Ohio State and the line of scrimmage on the offensive line. They can't run the football. They can't get that part going. And the throw game was only good during the 2 minute before the first half. And that was the only time in the game it got going. And if I'm Ohio State fans, I'm sorry. I know y'all spent like $20 million on your team this offseason, and you're so much better. But, man, those injuries on the line has taken its toll. And that Michigan thing is real. Yeah. Like, because you could say it was a Jim Harbaugh thing. He's gone. You could say it was all those guys that got drafted. They're all gone. You could say it was a Connor Stallions thing. He's gone. I mean, it's that big object that continues to stay in front of you, and man, they can't get rid of it.
No, it's much like when you think with kind of Kirby and Alabama at this point for Georgia, but Michigan scoring drives in the first half, by the way, 2 yards and 3 yards because of the interceptions. It was at one point, it was definitely a game of, hey, which QB could stink the least. Which one would not mess it up might win the game. But I think just not being into deep in this, like I'm an Ohio State fan or cover the team or anything like that, just watching from afar. The Harbaugh Michigan the first couple years where they just physically beat them and just run it down their throat the first few years with Harbaugh when they won, the first two of this four-game winning streak. It's almost like Ryan Day to me had a just strategical, philosophical change where it's like, hey, I have to run the football. I have to be tougher. Like he even brought it out from a mentality standpoint. And it actually took away the advantage he had. Because I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, much like our high school playoff game on Friday, why don't you just go five wide and throw it all over the place? I mean, I get your quarterback is maybe hamstring you, but if you kind of – like, yes, the flag planting stuff was definitely a thing. But you have better athletes on the outside, and your game, you're not tailoring your offense to where your best players are. That's just looking at it from afar.
Yeah, and the mistakes, I mean, there was a lot of them. Ohio State getting in the red zone, doing nothing about it. Ohio State missing kicks. They missed two field goals in the football game. You know, Will Howard backed up, you know, towards his own end zone after they just got a fourth down stop again. And he throws an immediate interception, a horrible interception. But it was just the continued mistakes. And here's the thing. I think we trusted Ohio State's defense, and they did their job. They really did. They did what they needed to do. I mean, it was the one third down and six run at the end of the game.
Mullings.
Mullings made the play with like a 150 left that – it was 3 minutes left and that was the one big play the Michigan offense made against the Ohio State defense. Everything else was kind of handed to them. And, you know, it's gotta be frustrating. It's gotta be annoying as an Ohio State fan that they've got your number and the ground game continues to be the stat, Brent. Like whoever wins the ground game wins this game. Over 20 years now. We talked about that going in, and you said, I'm a numbers guy, and you like numbers. And then you said, well, I don't care about that number. That number matters because and you talked about Ryan Day. That number continues to matter. Brent, Ryan Day is 47-1 in Big Ten games. He's 1-4 against Michigan. 47-1 and 1-4 versus Michigan. I'm going to be so interested to see how this is handled. Ohio State fans are not going to be happy. They're going to be ticked off. They're going to be mad. There's going to be a lot of them that are going to be calling for Ryan Day's job. Like, it's going to happen.
Gosh, yes. Already probably has like
yes because you know, ton of it. Because beating your rival matters, and it's the team up north, it's the hatred. They came in with piss and vinegar, ready to rock and roll, and they left fighting on the field and having to take that L and go home. And I don't know what comes next either of that fight, because all those players that were swinging punches, there's a good chance that they're going to get the video and you're going to get suspended for a playoff game because you ain't going to the Big Ten championship game now. Now it's Penn State versus Oregon. In the Big Ten championship game. And so that could be even more lasting, you know, ramifications from that blue, that team up north that is the big obstacle from them accomplishing their goals and their dreams.
So do you think that happens in terms of the suspensions?
I mean, it should. Like, you can't allow that to happen. You can't allow those things to happen on a field and it'd be okay. If you do, you set a precedent like the Alabama or Georgia-Texas game when people are throwing stuff on the field. Like, something needs to be done about it. Yeah, you can't allow that to happen. And I'm sitting there thinking, how dumb is Ohio State for doing this? Because Michigan, if you're suspended, you're suspended for the Cheez-It Bowl. Like, Ohio State's going to big deal, like to the playoffs. Like, they've got Ohio State's still got a top 10 win with Indiana. They still got a top 3 win with Penn State. They got a 1-point loss to the number 1 team on the road. Like, they're very much going to be in the college football playoff, especially with all the disaster we've had. But now, is that a part of it? Is that a part of what happens moving forward? And if it is, gosh darn, what a stupid moment that you wish you could take back.
Do you think that perspective, the hey, there's still the playoff and we can still go win the whole thing, kind of brings maybe down the Ryan Day unhappiness a little bit? Because if this was a 4-team playoff, by the way, Michigan just knocked them out of the 4-team playoff.
Yeah, but that's definitely a – that's definitely a good thing, and you can cure a lot of ails by going and winning this thing because nobody cares.
I think it's the only thing, by the way. I bet it's the only thing from an Ohio State fan standpoint. If he doesn't run the table, then yeah, you're gonna. I think that, like you said, they're gonna be calling for his job big time.
Which is nuts to have that kind of record and to be there. It's insane. It's hard to think about. But where are we going next, big homie?
Well, it looks like Texas basically just secured that victory with another turnover. They're up 10 now with a minute 29 to go. Fumble.
Hey, big win.
So we're getting
Texas,
a rematch.
Man.
Yes.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal for Texas. And Brent, I think how they did it was a big deal. Like, you know what
Texas completely dominated the game.
Texas completely dominated the game. They outgained A&M by 100 yards in the third quarter alone. And they were down 7-0 in the third quarter because they turned it over twice inside the 10-yard line, inside the 15-yard line going in to score. They made the most mistakes and still, you know, very much dominated that football game. But here's the thing with Texas. I think Texas 100% at the right time, in the right moments, they have the identity. They have their identity on offense. Wisner's toting the pill, man. Like,
yes.
This dude was an afterthought before the season. Remember when Brooks went for the NFL last year? They were supposed to have some freaky freshman kids and some freaky recruits. They get hurt. Wisner's kind of thrown in there, you know, in the Michigan game. But you can tell he's got it going on. And back-to-back games with over 100. He had over 100 yards after contact tonight, which is a big deal because I don't think – Texas's weapons are elite on the outside, and they're not good enough to – because Bond's still being dinged up. You can tell he's not 100%. So I don't think they're going to play, you know, pitch and catch the whole time. But I do think the ability to be able to run the football, play action, screen game, Sark do his magic. I think them have an identity along with an elite defense. We talked about that. Yep. They just don't give up big plays. They don't. They're really good up front in the box. They're really good in the secondary, and they don't flinch, and they don't make those mistakes.
The kid had the chance to pick up the block punt and just kind of dove and rolled on it. Like, when
you should have heard me screaming at my television. Why are you – take your time. Scoop the ball up. What are you doing?
It's already 20 yards back. Like, there's no shot at them picking it up and, you know, craziness going. That was the only chance to make it interesting for that. But, no, they –
sometimes.
They completely dominated the game. And, I mean, Texas A&M couldn't do anything. They didn't throw the ball greater than 10 yards down the field seemingly at all. That was kind of a drop back, read, dump it off, check down, or run kind of deal. The injury to the left tackle, the Banks kid got hurt, didn't come back in the game, is he okay for next week? That's a big deal because, obviously, that's one of the strengths. And even though Georgia pressured the quarterback a ton in the initial game, it wasn't necessarily an offensive line thing. It was on a few occasions. But over the totality of the game, it was as much Ewers' issue holding the football longer or breaking the pocket and then getting sacked as it was an offensive line issue. So I think that's the only one to mind. I can't remember looking back, but it's the only one where we're going to get a rematch, where we thought we might get multiple rematches in these championship games. But that one next week in the SEC championship game won't be.
And did you ever think you'd see the day where you see a Manning be a Wildcat quarterback? That's mind blowing to me.
Arch Manning comes real in, good threat for them.
Yeah. I mean, real good threat. He comes in this short yardage situation. And made the touchdown run. Both their first touchdowns were reviewed. Texas is not an explosive offense, but they know who they are on defense now. They're going to be a problem. They've got momentum on their – or they got motivation on their side this time because Georgia beat them last time. And Ewers is probably a little bit more healthy. I know he's a little bit banged up with the ankle, but he had a bunch of scrambles tonight and bought time.
Hit some deep balls too, finally.
Yeah, I think those scrambles were big for his squad. I mean, that was huge for his squad. The one down the right sideline was big. He scrambled on another 3rd and 12 and dumped it off when A&M, you know, came up and pressured. So we got that. We've already talked about it. We got Big Ten championship games set with Oregon versus Penn State, and now we got the SEC set with Georgia versus Texas.
One thing I have to apologize to Texas fans. When I went and looked at the box score at the last game in 2011, I saw C. McCoy, and instantly my brain went to Colt, but it was actually Case. So, sorry, Texas fans, I screwed that up. So I gotta own up on that one. I did get the kicker right. That was Justin Tucker, but still, you know, gotta admit that was wrong. Speaking, I'll go to a good transition here because did you hear Kyle McCord after the Syracuse game?
No, I didn't.
Somebody asked him,
the game, obviously, but what did he say?
So somebody asked him if he noticed or something about him outdoing Cam Ward while Ohio State only scored 10 points, and he said, everything comes full circle. There's no love lost there in that relationship. So speaking of that, big-time upset of the game.
Syracuse took care of business. I'm here for all the petty. I say this all the time. Sherrone Moore – slinging arrows at the end of the game across to Ryan Day, waving to the fans. I'm here for all of that. That is exactly what college sports are, man. Like, it's emotion. It's doing stupid things. It's doing crazy things. It's loving your team. It's Auburn and Alabama fighting on the sideline. It's Michigan and Ohio State fighting. Like, I love that. But how about, you're right, Syracuse, 9-3. Fran Brown comes over from Georgia, you know, never been a head coach. You know, if you know Fran, high energy all over the place, all the time, you know, passion. And you could tell, we knew they had a good schedule coming in, but the fact that they were that good on offense, the fact that they had some big wins this season puts them on a map and puts them in a position to go recruit, do better. I'm interested like crazy what this means for Miami because Brent,
that's one of my questions I have when we look at rankings.
Okay. Forget the rankings for a second. And I'm going to do my best, Brent, because I try to be nice to people. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, and I don't want to be critical of people all the time. But my gosh, there's a guy that's in Miami that constantly gives us opportunity after opportunity. I mean, Cristobal. Your defense can't stop a nosebleed. Like, you guys are getting turned out. You had Miami had a 21-0 lead in this game. Like, yep. Miami was rolling. Syracuse obviously puts drives together. They score on defense and take the lead with a great strip fumble return.
Yeah. Return.
There is. I want to make sure I get this right, so I don't mess this up. I wrote it down. 3:42 left in the game, Brent. 42-35. It's 4th and goal from inside the 7. What does Miami do? They kick a field goal. You know what? You should really go with your kicker over Cam Ward. That's a great idea. You've given up 42 points in the football game. 42. Like, you're really going to kick a field goal and say, I sure think my defense is going to bail them out for me. Like, I think, you know what? Out of all the missed opportunities, and Syracuse not only throwing the football, running the football.
Running it. Allen.
I'm probably going to get a stop right here. I got him this time. Like,
I felt like that was definite. It was going to happen. Of course it was going to happen.
At some point, Cristobal would Cristobal. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And here's another thing, Brent. Like, if you get stopped, you got them backed up. You got an opportunity to put some pressure, use the end zone as your friend, maybe get a stop. So what? You get the ball back. You got another opportunity to go down there. You took the ball out of one of the best players' hands in the country to kick a field goal to put your defense on the field.
And put you down four, by the way. Not down three, four. Like, I'd love this. I needed to go back and look and see if that actually lowered their win probability. Like, I'll never forget Dan Quinn for the Falcons did that against the 49ers to go down five or something, lowered their win probability as opposed to kicking it. By the way, since 2022, go for it.
No. If you got a Miami stat, go ahead.
Yes, that's what it is. Bear tweeted out, since the start of 22, no team has lost more games as a double-digit favorite than Miami. Under Cristobal, they're 4-9 in November, December, including 2-2 this year after the 9-0 start.
Do you know?
Win an ACC championship.
Do you know where my dude went to school?
Bear is a Miami guy.
He's a Miami grad, so he's not saying that to be rude. Like, it's literally because it hurts. Yeah. You know what else? You know what was a cherry on that caca Sunday that to finish it off for Miami? Did you see how the game ended, Brent, with 1:50 left?
They ran the ball down her throat. I know that. Allen, number one.
Second and five, 1:54 left, Brent. And guess what Miami's nose tackle does?
Oh, when he jumped off sides. I did see that.
Jumps off sides. Further emphasizing why you don't do that. Like, further emphasizing why you don't put it in your defense's hand. I mean, it was bad. It was – I can't defend it, Cristobal. I think you're awesome. You got great personality. I like your juice. You've recruited really well to Miami. But the game against Tech last year, that's on you. This game right here, not putting the ball in Cam Ward's hand, like, it's not okay. It's not okay. Like,
especially when he's bailed them out all year long, in essence. Like, he's carried them to the nth degree. And, yeah. So, because of that, a team that had a bad day because they lost at home to their rival gets to go play in the ACC championship game. Fran Brown, by the way, said, thank you, or Dabo Swinney, I got you. We took care of business for you. He said that in his interview. And one thing, too, you talked about McCord. What was it he tweeted? But somebody said, thank you, Kyle McCord. Or Kyle McCord said, you're welcome. He tweeted, you're welcome, Clemson football.
Hey, and again, I'm here for the petty Twitter interactions. I'm here for all that. I love that. And Clemson can still get in the college football playoff because they're in the ACC championship game against SMU. So, Clemson fans, you don't have to be too depressed. We'll talk about this in a minute. Hey, all y'all that are in this, listen, we're going to talk about the teams that are in the playoff. Like, we're literally going to give you a breakdown of everybody who's probably in and who you need to cheer for next week to go against, because it's going to be awesome. It really is going to be great. But how about South Kakalaka? How about South Carolina getting it together? I think that was six straight down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they look like I remember going back to start the season watching the Old Dominion game. And I was like, and their defense bailed them out with a sack fumble late in the game.
Late in the game.
Stewart. And I was like, you know, that golly, what a lucky break. This Sellers kid looks okay. He's a big, strong body. Can't throw real well. To watch them start from that game to today against Clemson with their defense playing good, making plays, staying aggressive, kicking onside kicks late in the games. And then South Carolina, I mean, doing what they did to finish this season, super, super impressive. Super, I mean, just tip of the cap, Shane Beamer and company.
Sellers, 18 forced missed tackles. most ever by a quarterback in a game in the PFF era. So that's over. That's a decade.
I didn't have that cool stat line like you did, but I wrote down Manchild.
Manchild, beast.
That's what I wrote down.
107, like almost all his yards were after contact. He was just that. And we had talked about, would Cade Klubnik be the best player on the field he needed to be for Clemson? He made throws. The receivers made plays.
But he was awesome.
And he made runs. Like, he was there, but just one play late, one tip ball, one, and then a couple of a missed fourth down early in the game where they were driving. That was just – they had chances to kind of put them away, to put South Carolina away, and they just couldn't. And then Sellers took it home.
And Sellers took it home. Knight ended it with the pick, which was fantastic because he's a great football player. Missed opportunity for South Carolina – or for Clemson. Missed opportunity at home. A couple things. First of all, the fourth down, Maffa should have got the third down conversion. He goes lateral. That's fine. Put your foot in the ground, get north-south. Fourth down conversion, be nastier, be meaner, find a way to get it done. The fumble on Clemson, where do you stand on that? Did you see the Klubnik tripping over his feet, hitting to Maffa, who's trying to pitch it backwards? Did you see that?
I still don't really understand the explanation because he's saying it was a backwards pass, so he had to control it, but like his whole hind end was on the ground, the ball was in his hand. And the whistle blowed dead.
I didn't get that.
Okay,
South Carolina fans, we're not hating, okay? Y'all deserved it. Y'all put together a string. Y'all's defense has been great all year long. Sellers was awesome. You made the plays when it was clutch. At the end of the game, third and I think it was 16 at the end of the game. I don't know what Clemson was doing. I'm sitting there with my son watching the game. I'm like, Nicholas, the only thing you can't do right now is let Sellers run.
Sellers beat.
Like, they can't throw the football. They're very one-dimensional. The throw game is very hit or miss. It's not on schedule and a lot of great things in the pass game. You can't let that dude beat you, and he takes off. But that fumble, bro, that fumble by Clemson, that was a horrible call. That was another officiating absolute blunder. Like, Klubnik's fumbling the ball backwards. Maffa had the ball. He's on the ground. You blow the whistle. What the heck do you want to do? Then you deem a recovery for the other team. It was awful. It was a really, really bad call in a big moment. Like, in a huge moment.
Very big moment.
And then Clemson, I love the way they handled the two-minute situation late, too. They had about a minute left. They were fast. They were efficient. It was really impressive to watch. I'm telling you, man, I went from saying Klubnik was not very good to I think he's really, really good. I mean, his ability, his pocket presence has grown. He runs the football like a running back, which is great. Yes. But the deep shots to Wesco early, he was the first one. And then Williams got involved. By the way, what do those guys have in common for Clemson? Freshman, sophomore. All young guys. Like, I think with the offensive line, if they can get better at that spot, I think with a quarterback that can do what he can do, and the plan for Clemson was fantastic. Get the ball out, take deep shots, get the running game going in different ways because they knew they couldn't block South Carolina. Like, right. They knew they couldn't. They game planned it well. They came up short with a tip pass at the end of the game, but they still have a chance. Again, they play an SMU in the ACC. They still got a chance to go to the college football playoff.
I do think right now SMU is the most complete team in the ACC. Now, Clemson's defense did show up today and played well other than inability to tackle
really
Sellers
well.
Late. I mean, they even spied him on that last touchdown. He just beats the spy like it's nothing. But I do think SMU, I would think they'll be favored, and I would
Can we go to my Fighting Irish squad because –
We can certainly go to your Fighting Irish squad, who, by the way, it was really close until that pick six late. Great play late, and then it was just bye-bye, game over.
It was really close until they won by 20-something. Yeah, it was really close.
hey, USC had a chance, and then they blew it.
Yeah, they for sure had a chance.
Notre Dame was way more physical, though, way more physical in the entirety of that game.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, they can win it. Like, Notre Dame can win this thing, and I know they got four banged up today, which is not good. Because that dude, he's hurdling people every week. At Love, right?
Isn't it Love? Jeremiah Love.
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Love is a baller, and him getting dinged up. Now 2-4 can carry the load too, but they've gotten better. Their tight ends are a big part of it. Like they're finding those guys, the big body tight ends. They're running really well. The quarterback obviously can run. Leonard's tough, man. You see me big shots a game he takes. Yes. Like he's built thick. He makes plays. Their defense plays their flipping tails off. They are physical. They are fast. Like they gave up some plays to USC today. And I was impressed, dude. Maya, like that dude balled. Like, he was Mayava, like
Mayava, yes, Jaden Mayava. I think it's Mayava.
Yep. It's Mayava. When he was in the pocket, he took hit after hit after hit after hit against Notre Dame. They kept popping him, and he kept getting up, and he kept throwing it, and he was running and made some plays. And USC obviously was in the football game, but I continue to like Notre Dame, the way they fight, how hard they play. I think Freeman's grown into his own too. I mean, the fake punt today when he felt like they needed a little bit of juice. He did it a couple weeks ago too. I think it got called back, but it went for a touchdown. So I like the aggressive nature, the aggressive play calling. And Notre Dame's
the other thing, they had a great day because of the Ohio State loss.
Yeah,
because to me, they now are in prime position to be that 5 seed,
and I think gives you a 12 matchup to start
12 against, which I do think that will be end up being a Boise or a UNLV, because I think Tulane's out after losing on Thanksgiving, but they're so 5 seed potentially then playing a 4 seed conference champion Big 12, like. That was the money spot for Notre Dame, being in that spot. And I think that today and this win kind of helped solidify that.
The Irish, man, they're good. Don't sleep on the Irish. I know they haven't had a lot of success in the playoff era or in a while period. But they're a team in a year where it's wide open. I think you know exactly what you're getting from them every week, which is different from some teams. Like, I'm watching the Alabama-Auburn game, and I'm like, Alabama could win this thing. Like, dang, they easily could win this thing. Then I'm like, Alabama sucks.
They could lose this game.
I mean, they turn it over again. Like, I feel the roller coaster that is almost every team in college football. It ain't just Bama. Like, if you're a Georgia fan and you're watching Friday night, you're like, what the heck is going on? And you've been on that roller coaster this season. But I feel like Alabama's been on it a lot. And today was like positive turnover. You look up and they got 4 turnovers. Like, this should be a beatdown. They should be destroying Auburn. But they kept shooting themselves in the foot. And Milroe just has to do so much. I mean, he's just – now, he can, and he's got that ability. Like, he's just got that – man, when he sticks his foot in the ground and goes, it's beautiful. I just don't think you can ask him to do that week after week after week after week. The SEC championship bye, and if Alabama can get in, that might be a good rest and recalibrate for them. But to me, the offensive line's just not good enough. Like, they don't make enough space. They don't create enough room to make big plays.
Yeah. So speaking of the up and down EKG that is the Georgia game, the win probability, Dane Young that I work with tweeted the win probability thing, and it literally looked like an EKG. It was quite insane. 8 overtimes. You and I had to rewatch it. We saw the end. I got home in time to see like the very end and then end of the overtimes, and just an insane ending, back and forth. One gets it, the other gets it. One doesn't get it, the other doesn't get it. And then finally Georgia makes a stop.
You thought they were going to lose like 17 different times.
7 times.
I mean, it was
down 17 nothing, down 27-13. Just
okay. I got to ask you, homie, because you're a numbers guru and a stats nerd. Okay, I was trying to justify this in my head, Britt, I'm a nerd when it comes to sports too, in the way I think. So Georgia's down 17 nothing. Georgia scores and they go for 2. That didn't make any sense to me in my brain, because I said, I'm going to be within 11 anyways. So if I'm within 10, so that's a touchdown and a field goal. Like, I didn't understand why you're trying to make it 17-8. What good does that do you?
I think I know where it comes from and the company it comes from in terms of what they get and all the various situational things that they get. And maybe there's some element of, hey, the likelihood that Georgia Tech scores again and you're down 24 to you don't want to be down 24-7. You'd rather be down 24-8. Maybe that comes into play a little bit. But I think it was so early, and also the ability of Georgia Tech to shrink the game. And yeah. Maybe you only get one, you know, maybe you only get two more possessions on offense. So, hey, if I'm down 24-I'd rather be down 24-8 than 24-7, have scored three times. I think that's probably somewhat into it, but obviously the way it worked out, it did not work out very well because an extra point would have won the game.
It caused you to go into overtime.
Yes. All right. So, speaking of the overtime, and two things first. Buster Faulkner and his ability to, one, know Georgia's defense and know how to hurt it with a healthy quarterback is next level.
We and talked two, about that, didn't we? We talked about that before going into the game.
May have some knowledge there. And then, two, Haynes King is an absolute warrior because a week ago he couldn't he could run a little bit but couldn't really throw at all. And now he had over – I think I saw he's the first FBS quarterback to have – like 300 yards and over 100 yards rushing and X number of TDs, something like that. 300 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, and three rushing TDs versus an AP top 10 team, first person ever. So, like, just tip of the cap there. But obviously Georgia gets it done. So, speaking of the overtime, though, this I actually wrote this down and wanted to ask you this because I went back and looked at your sort of time at UGA. I didn't see an overtime game. Did you get to play in an overtime game that it didn't have on the log?
First of all, only you would go back and look at that. But no, I did not play in an overtime game.
Okay, so it was correct. What do you think of the overtime rules as they are?
I like it a heck of a lot better than the NFL. I mean, I think the fact that one – and I know this is a point of contention with a lot of people, which is strange to me. Like, the fact that somebody can win the toss and go win the game and you don't have an equal amount of possessions or a great chance, that to me is – that drives me nuts. I don't like that. So – I understand. I remember
it changes in the playoffs. The NFL it does change to where everybody gets a possession in the playoffs.
So LSU and Arkansas. Do you remember when they went 7 OTs?
Right.
And so we went to this player safety world, and so we're going to player safety. And so player safety means we don't want as many plays on the body. And so by going to the 2-point play format, now you've said like we're getting less plays, and one play can determine it. So I actually think from that standpoint, it's pretty good. I enjoyed the crap out of the chess match that went on with the 2-point plays. Like, that was really fun to watch Kirby take timeout after timeout after seeing the formation, to watch them bring blitz, all-out blitz, to watch them play three-man rush, right? Like, it was really cool, and it was a broad spectrum of cat and mouse, which I think was really fun to watch. And I think by the end of the game, both coordinators are like, you got one? Anybody got a play?
Because
we're at eight assistant of these puppies, and Faulkner ran the fake swinging gate, and I mean, good Lord, like they broke everything out that was able to broken out, and in the end, somehow Georgia won. I don't know how. It was probably a game they didn't deserve to win, but Dan Jackson did
with the big hit to cause the fumble when they were down 7 2 minutes ago. That was a stripe.
That was an absolute stroke. And Dan Jackson, by the way, shows up week in and week out, man. Like, that dude, as much as people used to talk about him in the back end being a big liability, he's a pretty consistent heartbeat in that back end. Like,
and he's a Sunday player now, I think.
Huh?
He's a Sunday player too, I think now.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
But so in the end, we get Georgia and Texas in the SEC championship. Georgia at 10-2. I mean, I think it kind of all worked out to where you maybe thought it would be in the end. Which, by the way, I do agree with you in terms of the overtime format. Total plays in overtime at the after regulation 24 by both teams combined. In the fourth quarter alone, they had 45 plays combined. So if you just go play another quarter, there's a potential, you know, granted it can end earlier, but still I agree with the overtime. I do like the format because of the safety part. There has to be some element of that. But, yeah, we get Georgia and Texas in the SEC championship game.
Rematch.
I think in terms of Big 12.
I think both teams are in the college football playoff regardless. So
as well.
If you want to go there, unless you got another game you want to talk about, Arizona State went frying pan to head. They destroyed them, which solidifies them in the Big 12 championship game. And then you got so we've already talked about
Iowa State won. Yep, they did win, and now I think it's up to BYU to win, and that puts them into the Big 12 championship, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yes. If BYU wins, the Iowa State plays Arizona State. All right, so let's go through the playoffs right quick, because I think y'all will be intrigued by this. So this is what I have, Brent, and I want to know if you have anything different. Okay. I have 9 teams that I have circled that are in the college football playoff.
I wrote 9 as in.
Okay.
Top 9.
So let's go through this with y'all real quick for y'all at home. So Oregon, I think, is in regardless of what happens next week. Ohio State is in the playoffs. They're not going to the championship game. We've already talked about the why. Texas is in now with a loss to Georgia or a win. Like I think they're still in the college football playoff. Penn State is in the college football playoff. Yep. Notre Dame is in the college football playoff. Georgia is in the college football playoff. You can't tell me if you lose to the team you beat in the regular season, they're going to kick you out. They're not. No, Tennessee, no. The Volunteers, welcome to the college football playoff. That's their first appearance in the college football playoff. They didn't get in the 4 and then getting in the 12 now. Good to see
you. And also welcome back deep ball for their offense today.
Yeah.
Against Vanderbilt. That was a big difference. Nico looked a whole lot better in that, hitting some deep balls and getting some explosive plays for them.
And that game was set up for Tennessee to lose. Like Tennessee
gets especially the start.
Opening kickoff, touchdown return for Vandy. They force a fumble. Within a minute and a half, they're down 14. And Tennessee kept the heart rate down. That's the one thing I think I like about Nico the most probably is you never know, like, what happened.
Up he's 30, good. Down I'm 20.
Yeah, matter. He's got that heart rate. So Tennessee's my other team that I said is in. SMU. I think SMU's in the college football playoff, whether they win or not.
I agree.
And then Indiana, they're not going to a championship game, so they're in. So that's 9 teams that are in the college football playoff.
That's exactly what I wrote down. And by the way, I think those are actually going to be the first 9 teams in terms of the rankings. I think Ohio State moves down, but the question being whether they're ahead of Indiana or behind Indiana.
I mean,
they beat them.
So those 9 teams we're saying are in. So there's 3 more spots. So we got to give those 3 spots out. So Boise State, I think, is going to be the other team. It could obviously be UNLV, right?
It's the winner of that game.
Correct. It could be UNLV. I think it's going to be Boise. So that's 10. So let's do the math, guys, for everybody at home. There's 2 more spots available. That's it. There's 2 more spots in the college football playoff. That's it to go from. If Clemson beats SMU, Clemson automatically punches a ticket. So if you're on the bubble and you want your team to get in, you're cheering hard against Clemson. Like you want Clemson to lose to SMU. You want SMU to take care of business because Clemson takes another automatic bid. Like they're right in there.
Yep. Big 12
And then
champ.
Guess what? Well, and here's the other thing. Well, I guess we should have done this the other way. So 10 with Boise and then 11 with Iowa State or Arizona State. One of those two have to get in, providing BYU wins tonight. So there's 1 spot, homie. There's 1 spot left. Like literally there's 1 spot with all of these teams that are going to be sitting there lined up, and there's no spots if Clemson wins. None. No. So, I think we were looking at all these teams and what could have been, man. How are you going to sort them out, Brent? Who are you giving that last spot to?
Well, I mean, as of now, you've got Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, and that sort of three-loss SEC team. But then you've got 10-2 Miami. That's
And Miami was at 6 this week. So they would have to fall in a closely contested game against a 9-3 team. That was not a bad team that they lost to. Syracuse was a good team this season. Yep. So Miami, who their best win's Louisville, but
both their losses are on the road.
Losses are both on the road, both to good teams, Georgia Tech and Syracuse. But here's my thing, Brent. If we're doing this committee thing, if we're doing this correctly, here's the way I would look at it. If Miami lost 2 of their last 3 games, do they deserve to be in the college football playoff? Like, 2 of their last 3, man. They finished leaking oil. They didn't finish rising. And South Carolina finished with 6 straight wins. And you're going to tell me you're going to put in Miami, who finished with 2 out of the last 3 losses. Like, that's the part that I think is going to be interesting. And then how you stack up Bama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, who all beat each other. They all beat each other. And South Carolina got a big win, according to the committee this week, and Alabama didn't get a big win. They got an Auburn win. That was not somebody that was ranked. So I think
That's the question of the rankings on Tuesday. Is it just Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina notching up one spot each because Clemson lost? Or and where does Miami fit? Like that will tell you to me who that last spot is going to be. Which another thing I thought about with as it relates to that, you're sitting there as if you are one of those teams, you got no clue. Your season's done. You're not in a championship game. You got to keep practicing, potentially, or can you? I don't even know. You don't know who you're playing. Like there's so much uncertainty there, but you just got to sit and watch and hope.
Can I? I want to make you do this, Brent, and I'm going to do it too.
Okay.
If I'm telling you, Bama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, Clemson loses, those are your three teams you're picking to put in the college football playoff. Who are you putting in?
South Carolina.
Wow. Okay.
Because of the ascension. Because I think that's one of the things that this format should reward. It should reward that, hey, you aren't really who you are early, and you once you find yourself, it's, all right, now what kind of team are you? Also, Sellers got hurt against LSU. Also, horrible freaking call against LSU. Those kind of things. So, but the hard part about that is that they played each other, is that Bama actually beat South Carolina. That's the
And see that doesn't bother me at all, because that was a great game. What bothers me and what's hard about this is Ole Miss destroyed South Carolina. They slapped a hole in South Carolina. They beat them by 24. Like, it was an ugly game. Like, we saw that game, and you're going
to
tell me
that. Losses? Are they going to start looking at your losses then?
That's got to matter. And that's where I look at that. That's where I go. Here's where my brain, I'm weird. So, like, I wrote down best wins. So Bama beat Georgia, but so did Ole Miss. So those are good.
Yep.
Bama the bad loss for Ole Miss is they lost to Kentucky. That's not a good loss. Alabama has two bad losses. Alabama got clubbed upside the lid against Oklahoma. They got destroyed 2 weeks ago. They got ruined. Vanderbilt beat them as well. Like, those are two bad losses. Tennessee loss at Tennessee is not a bad loss. Like, that was a competitive game. They're a really, really good football team. Ole Miss, 3-point loss to Kentucky. Obviously, they beat Georgia. Their other losses were all extremely competitive, but they did lose to Florida. Florida's not a great team. Yes, they're playing better at the end of the season, but they're still not a great team. Like, that wasn't a great team in a historic season by any stretch. So this is what they're going to be doing in a room. Like, this is literally what they're going to be doing. They're going to be talking about all of this, and somebody's going to go, well, so-and-so lost. Well, South Carolina won six straight. Well, Ole Miss and Bama both beat Georgia, really good teams. One was more convincing than the other. All that stuff is going to take into account, and that's what's absolutely fantastic.
Well, and in the end, will it likely just stay as it is right now, where the order is Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina?
Yeah, but Miami's still there regardless.
Yeah, that's so, because of the way they viewed the loss column. That's going to be interesting. And does that, and Alabama, by the way, went from what, they were seventh? Were they ahead of Miami, I think, the week before, if I'm not mistaken? Yeah, they were seventh. Miami was eighth the week before, and Alabama was 8-2, Miami 9-1. So they've already have a precedent of putting Alabama ahead of Miami. So if you're an Alabama fan, you got to root the heck out of for SMU. You become Kevin Jennings and Breshard Smith and Roberts fans.
Send them home, and then you still got to hope that they take into account that Miami loss, or that Miami, that loss moves them way down the list. But Eric said this whole confusing argument might be why they go with Miami the easy route. Eric, that's a good point. I mean, that's a really good point. They easily could do that because this stuff does get exhausting. But
conspiracy theorists will probably say that Bama's going to be in no matter what.
Pace. Yeah, but this is your, by the way, I don't care if this is exhausting. This is your flipping job. Like, you chose to do this, and yep. you better be watching the games, and this better matter to you. Like, we ain't getting paid no money, and we're following this crap brand. Like, they dang sure better be dialed in to the numbers and all that thing, all these things. I can tell you this. If you told me which one of those three teams I wouldn't want to play the most, I don't think I'd want to play Ole Miss. I mean, honestly, I think...
Arrested Ole Miss. I wouldn't want to play arrested Ole Miss.
If Trey Harris comes back healthy, who's an absolute freak of league, they're good. Like, they're literally... Their problem against, you know, Florida, obviously, was the short yardage. And I think with that defensive line, they'd be in every game. And that defensive line would travel. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. Bama's defensive line doesn't
scare. You could say the same about South Carolina too, by the way.
Yeah, but you can't say the same about Alabama, which is crazy. Yeah. Like, these fronts we're talking about, you can throw Georgia in that mix too, which is another SEC team. You can throw Texas in that mix. Alabama's defensive front scares me the least out of all of them, which is kind of crazy to say. But South Carolina, here's the thing. Jackson Dart is consistent. Jackson Dart can beat me with his legs and his arm. The system is really, really good. I would want to play them less. Bama can beat me 100%. Bama can get
especially
hot
with
and
a Milroe with time off.
Correct, but they also will beat themselves and make mistakes, and I'm 100% sure of that. South Carolina is a one-dimensional offense that I don't fear as much. That defensive line is dirty. The secondary, the linebackers, they're good. But honestly, if you're asking me who I wouldn't want to play the most, I wouldn't want to play Ole Miss. I think that defensive line travels, and every single game they were a big factor. And I wouldn't want to deal with that.
By the way, did you ever think that we'd get to a world where Penn State could be the number one overall seed? I don't think they would be, by the way. I think if Texas wins – ooh, actually, that's a great question. If Texas beats Georgia, Penn State beats Oregon, who's the one seed?
Texas is not the one seed. Well, I mean, I think you could even still have Oregon there because they all beat each other, and Oregon's body of work.
They can't, but they can't be because they wouldn't be the champ.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
That Oregon loses, they're the five seed.
Which by the way, is another thing why this is stupid. Like, stop giving me numbers and then other numbers that are different seeds at a different time. Like, stop that. Like,
too many numbers.
Too much numbers, too much words. Like, get out of here with that crap. Yeah, I think you'd probably. I bet you they would go with. I bet you they'd go with Penn State, fresh off the win. I think that off beating.
Especially since Oregon's
team.
Been number one basically the entirety of this. So, yeah, I do agree that would happen as well. And you know, Texas is beating a team that they've already played and lost to, so it's kind of getting a rematch versus Penn State beating
them
freshly.
That much.
All right, last thing that I want to get to. Since it was a thing today, and one team did it, and then it seemed like everybody had to do it. I guess it was like a TikTok fad or whatever, just like anything else. The flag planting. Are you here for that kind of petty? Yay, nay, or is it? Where do your what's your stance on that?
Did you see the spear planting? The pitchfork.
Oh, the pitchfork with Arizona
pitchfork,
State.
Not spear. All my Sun Devil fans, I apologize. Yes. I should have gone with the pitchfork because that is more correct.
Or trident. Is it a trident like the Aquaman kind of thing? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I didn't know if you were going Little Mermaid. Here's my thing about that. If that is going to be something that gets other people to the 50-yard line, and we have this, and we have a chance for a fight and stupid things to happen, we need to get rid of it. Well, I don't want to do it. Like, I get it, and I've always been of the mindset, if I get my ace kicked, then you get to do what you want. It's your field because you just won. You took care of it on the field. Like, it really doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Like, we lost where it mattered the most, and they kind of get the right to do that because they beat you. But I don't want to see fighting, but we also have trophies that we can hand out and we can be responsible. So I think we got to find a way not to fight. But from my petty side and my, I kind of love it. I mean, I kind of
figured
like,
there was a small amount of it that you were like the competitor in you would kind of do it almost if you had the chance.
I just like, I don't know, the Michigan's reaction was I'm here for it. Like, I really liked it.
So, in all the in the Michigan game, okay, I get that because a lot of those are the same guys that have played against those same guys for 4 years and beat those same guys for 4 years. A lot of these other games, like, okay, you've been there for 1 year at the with the school.
Yeah.
So, is it really your rival? I mean, I don't really know if I go there, but yeah, it was definitely a road team thing today to take care of business and plant their flag in a way.
And we talked about this coming in and why I love this week, rivalry week, man. It's just, I can't say it because I always mess it up and say rivalry. But the rivalry week is always fantastic just because a team like Michigan somehow finds a way to play their best, you know, and a team like Georgia Tech in clean old fashioned hate just finds a way to play their best. There is everything on the line for one squad with all the pressure. A lot of the times that is this, mm-hmm. the pendulum is swung completely in one direction. And there's one team that could give a rat's butt and it doesn't matter. And I can run reverse passes and I can let it rip because there are no consequences. And it seems like it just always delivers. And I think moving forward, Brent, with NIL and the more parity that we have, I think we'll continue to see this. I think it'll be continue to be greater games. And college football is on a track where we're going to be on the same track of more parity more often. And hopefully, you know, Tuesday night when we're doing the rankings, like, we've got an argument. You know, we've got three or four teams sitting there that we're going, I can make a case for this team, this team, this team, this team. Clearly they looked at this over this, and we're doing this with so many more teams as opposed to what we were doing with four.
So I think you're perfectly said in terms of this day being one of the best days of college football that exists. And by the way, we even got like 2 days of it, a day and a half of it because of whatnot with Friday night's game. So that was good.
And if you're a Cartersville Hurricane fan,
sorry about your luck.
Sorry, not sorry. Like them North Oconee Titans took care of business. The high school squad, Brent's son plays there. I coach there. My son plays there. Took care of business. Took the number one seed out. Little changing of the guard. North Oconee here to stay. Going to their
doesn't
third
get any
final
easier
four.
Next week though. But you know, we'll see.
No, it's definitely not. But hey, Tuesday, y'all come join us because it will be interesting. It will be fun. We'll get some more clarity. It's not going to be over, but from a standpoint of debating, I think the things are going to be set in place for the most part for us to figure out if we're deciding between Bama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, who are not partaking in championship games. Then I think we know, obviously, if Clemson wins, they're probably in, but we know the Miami, Bama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, and we can discuss, and then, we can root like crap for our other teams to lose and pull against them. But we'll see you guys Tuesday for the ranking show and college football winding down. The first college football 12-team playoff has led to some excitement, and we will see you guys on Tuesday.